Welcome back to Rebook, the show where we talk about the men and women who go into the middle of the square circle and they go and they slap that meat all day long. That's right, baby. I am Golden Boy. You got Jake here. No Matt today because Matt has a job as a responsible professional wrestling commentator. And I have the most sporadic schedule, evidently. So our schedules were not aligning, but it's all good. Matt, we miss you, kind of. We can't wait to have you back.
Hannafin would have been here.
You know what? I totally agree with that. Hannafin's a real one. Real talk.
He is.
Case, though, everyone, we thank you so much for joining us yet again. Another great week of fantastic wrestling across the board, whether you're watching WWE, TNA, or don't forget, TNA's got a pay-per-view as well this weekend. So make sure you go ahead and support Matt and the boys over at TNA because they're going to put on one hell of a card. We're not going to dive too far into it, but we will talk about it next week, I'm sure, because there's going to be some great things coming out of that show. But for now, though, this week, what we're going to highlight mostly is just the fallout from All In, and then also what's happening with All Out, which is literally like in a week. And then we have Bash at Berlin, which is going to be taking place tomorrow as of this recording. And we do want to apologize for being late on this one, but I had to go do Call of Duty next in DC, and then getting out of DC turned out to be the hardest thing in the world. So we're finally here. Jake, how you doing though, buddy? How's your week been?
I'm doing all right. College football's back. College football's back. It's in full swing. We're already in midseason form. Had some great games. Games started last weekend, but starting yesterday, 5 straight days of college football.
Oh, yeah. And I just realized all of my graphics are messed up, but it's okay. We don't need them. We're not going to do graphics because I had to redo our entire show before we went live. But yeah, man, it's got some college football coming up here, which, again, is not a Rebook show if Jake doesn't talk about college football. So we got that one in there. That's good to know. Yeah. So we had a chance to watch All In this week. What'd you make of it? I thought it was a fantastic show, but I'm curious to know what you thought.
I thought it was a great show. I thought it was one of those shows that had a little something for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
There were 3 standout matches that were like the ones that you'll be talking about for years to come.
Yeah. Which were those for you?
Danielson and Swerve, and then and this is in no particular order. MJF Ospreay, and then Tony Storm and Mariah May, I thought were the 3 standout matches. Some of the matches I felt were kind of much shorter lived than I expected. And honestly, I felt they were a little short lived compared to what AEW usually does. And it didn't really feel like as crowded of a card as they usually have. So that kind of, there were a few that I was like, oh wait, it's over. That's it. Yeah. We're done with that match.
I think that's good though. I feel like, Too often matches get way too much time that shouldn't have that much time.
And they just drag on and drag on.
Yeah, and then they just drag on. Like not to badmouth, but like a lot of Jericho's matches, for example, I think are ones that like would really drag on. Whereas like this one, I felt like was really tight, told a good story. We got in, we got out. We knew what the point was, and it was really nice. I would wager that the only other match that I would say would contend for that with me was the Casino Gauntlet. I love the Casino Gauntlet, but it's not a one-on-one match, so I think for our one-on-one matches you hit the nail on the head. And then the Casino Gauntlet was just great. Ricochet is now in AEW, which we knew was coming, but it was just still great to see him out there. He also had his debut match against Kyle Fletcher. It seems like they're teasing Will Ricochet because the world isn't ready for it. So they're teasing this, but we'll talk more about that later on. But for now, though, I mean, I will agree. And Danielson's the new champ, the new AEW world champion. We thought that he would retire, you know, that Swerve would win, but Swerve had one hell of a run. And and I think Danielson being champion is a great step for AEW, because you have one of the most compelling storylines now with this.
Yeah, every match is title versus career.
Yeah, every match is title. When is the last time we've had that as an angle? So
I don't know if we ever have, but the fact I don't know if I've ever heard a wrestler say, "I will retire when I lose."
Yeah. Yeah, because like Sting won the tag titles.
If only Goldberg. If only.
Well, brother, let me tell you right there about that Bill Goldberg guy. Bret Hart don't like him very much. No. So yeah, I'm quite interested to see what happens with that. We'll talk about that in a little bit, because a challenge was issued and it was quite compelling. That being said, though, we did end up getting Mariah May, new AEW Women's World Champion. Brilliant matchup,
which I didn't expect either. But
really, I actually felt like that was going to happen. I was like quite confident that was going to happen.
I if I recall on our predictions episode, I think I picked Tony to retain, because I was like, she hasn't gotten a run as a face.
Yeah,
but the more I think about it, like, it is interesting. Like, I want to see if we get kind of a new side of Tony Storm here, like, you know, since she has turned face, how much of her personality and what she does, how much is that going to change? And because, yeah, a good, like, I don't know, you got to enjoy a good chase when it comes down to a title, you know? So the more I think about it, the more it does make sense. But I thought Tony was going to hold on to that thing.
Only thing I was a little disappointed on, though, honestly, was in Dynamite. Like, Mariah had the reveal.
Had no time.
Yeah, she had the reveal with the belt. You know, it looks awesome. She looks like a star with it. She's got the glamorous Mariah May title, which I really like. But yeah, it was very clear they just wanted to get her out there. But whatever storyline progression they do will probably happen at Collision, or maybe even next week's Dynamite. So they do have that coverage there, because this Dynamite show that they had following All In was genuinely phenomenal. It was a very, very good show. Oh, wrong one. There he is. my God, all the graphics are all over the place. It was a really good episode. Very tight, good storylines.
It needed to be with All Out being in a week.
Yeah, being in a week. And honestly, I'm incredibly compelled by all the matches that they have already laid out for All Out. So you got MJF versus Daniel Garcia. That was, we knew it was coming, but what a great setup that was. We have,
and that was one of the things. My match of the night for All In was MJF and Ospreay. I actually enjoyed that. Look, and obviously not to take anything away from Swerve and Bryanson, I guess I'm calling him now.
Bryanson.
not to take anything away, because another great one as well. But like, I just thought I mean, and it was something Matt was going to hit on, and I'll mention it for his sake. That Danielson match.
Yeah.
If you're going to bring up the family and have the family be part of the story that's told in the match, show the family on camera.
Yeah.
Like, there's a moment. I don't need to hear the commentator say he's reaching out for his family. Where's that camera shot? Where's that angle?
Yeah.
Where's that shot? Show me that shot from behind where he's reaching out and you know, his kids are in focus. Like,
definitely
show
a bit
me
of
that.
A production.
That's one thing that really took me out of that match, quite honestly, was the production.
Yeah.
And that's what I thought was so good in part about the match between MJF and Ospreay, because that moment where Garcia came out, I'll be honest, I had forgotten about that.
Yeah.
And when he showed up, I was like, oh my God, it makes all the sense in the world. And I just thought that was a really well done match, just both in the storytelling in the ring and, you know, just the general
I would definitely say, and I agree with you, I would say that everything about the Swerve Danielson build was odd. Everything about it. The match was
felt a little forced.
But yeah, it was a little forced. And I think it was just the nature of, like, you know, MJF getting injured, then pivoting to Joe. Then they pivoted to Joe. And then, you know, they had Joe and Swerve kind of build a little bit. Then you get Dynasty. Swerve wins a Dynasty. And then from there, like, you start to see, like, good ideas begin to form, but then they kind of fizzled out. Like, for example, Swerve constantly calling out the Elite every single week. That looked cool. I was, like, really, really down for that. And I really wanted to see the possibility of Swerve versus Okada. I know we're going to get that down the line. But then happening underneath all of that was Bryanson, Daniel, damn, my God. JR literally said Daniel Bryan in commentary, and it was really funny. But Bryan, and it's funny because his name is Bryan Danielson, right?
His actual name.
But when Danielson was like talking about his retirement run, and you have Owen happen, and the way they were building the Owen, making it feel like this was going to be Hangman winning it, really took you for a ride. So it was not the best told story, but it definitely was not. If you would have told me that Swerve would lose to Brian when he won a Dynasty, that's how he would lose his title, I wouldn't have believed it, because I'm like, how would we even get there?
How do we get to that point?
And right. And we got there. We got there. But
it what felt I think a is little ad libby
for sure. You know,
it felt a little like Mad Libs, like, yeah. You know, the short bearded man went to the ring to fight the, you
know, like, the angry cowboy. Yeah, and the exactly. angry cowboy. Yeah. No, I'm totally about it. And I think now that Brian has the title, you can start to build a bit more, because I feel like everyone's where they need to be currently. Right. And that's exciting. So
it was kind of a reset. It felt a little.
It like, was. It did like, because that was the MJF fallout that had happened from All In. I mean, it was literally a year of this that we've had to kind of like get to that point. I did want to say real fast, our card for All Out so far as we move into Dynamite. It's going to be Willow Nightingale versus Chris Statlander in the Chicago Street Fight for the CMLL Women's Championship. That's just going to be a great match. I'm excited for that. MJF versus Daniel Garcia. I'm expecting that to be very violent. Swerve versus Hangman in a steel cage match. All right. I'm freaking in. Will Ospreay versus Pac for the AEW International Championship. Pac just came out of nowhere. Poison routed him. We'll talk about that in a second. And then in the most bizarre thing, Jack Perry, the TNT champion, fresh off of a win against Darby Allin in the coffin match, challenges Bryan Danielson for the AEW World Championship at All Out, trying to become a double champion. I'm compelled by every single match in this card. I don't think Jack Perry is going to beat Danielson. I mean, that would be a horrendous mistake. but I am very fucking fascinated. And also they had justification, which we'll talk about in a second. They had justification, which is pretty cool. So before, though, we dive into the Danielson Perry situation, I do want to talk about that John Moxley promo.
Yeah.
At the start of Dynamite. That feels like building blocks for something real big.
Well, for sure, because if you notice, too, he didn't come out to Wild Thing. Which
he came out to his New Japan theme.
Yeah. So, yeah, that to me is a clear like indication that something is not as it seems. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that line of this company. It was this company doesn't belong to you anymore, or this company isn't yours anymore, something to that effect. But he said it specifically to Shivani.
Yeah,
which is what's confusing. He didn't say it to the fans. He didn't say, he said it to Tony Schiavone. So I don't know what that means. A lot of people seem to think here comes the money as far as that is concerned.
I don't think so.
That it's a tease. I don't think so either.
I can't see Moxley even being down to,
I don't do either. That. That's the thing that has me thinking there's something else is going on, unless it's because there was a moment where Marina Shafir was fighting some people in the back and Moxley's watching. So is he forming a new group? Is he expanding BCC?
Yeah.
Is
like what happened? Like, dude, there's a lot of questions that, yeah, but that's good. That's good. You want that,
right? Especially is this a group to compete and contend with the Elite? Are they healers? But yeah, so there's a lot of questions that whole promo brings up that I'm interested to see where it goes, because it's been a while since we've seen Mox.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a long while since we've seen Mox, especially as one of the, you know, pillars of AEW. Yeah. It's kind of shocking that we haven't seen him in this long.
Well, I mean, I believe he was like chilling because he needed it, because he was like doing, carrying so much of.
Yeah, and he's doing death matches every weekend for shits and giggles. So
the man's insane. but yeah, I don't know what the hell that means. We'll be keeping an eye on it. Seems like AEW could be building a new big storyline, which is going to be quite fascinating. Another one that came out of nowhere that was great. So after Ricochet's match against Kyle Fletcher, which was a fantastic match, by the way, go out of your way to watch it. I mean, Kyle Fletcher just continues to prove that he is like the perfect amalgamation of like everyone who has come before him. People like Ricochet, Will Ospreay, Kenny Omega. I mean, even the shades of, you know, Bryan Danielson, like he's got so much talent. It's absurd. And he goes and pretty much goes toe to toe with Ricochet. But Ricochet wins with his new Vertigo move, which looks really sick. And which I'm glad, because I think like that is a move that like you need like a high impact move for, you know, like to like, that's what champions need, a big move, man.
Yeah.
Like the last call, you know what I mean? Like that kick is so good, right? Like
house call.
Like that kick is so good, right?
Last call would be a great name for a new move by Hangman.
Actually could be.
Oh, that shit would be pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But even then, the Buckshot Lariat, right? Another
Buckshot Lariat. Yeah, exactly.
God tier. I mean, I'm curious how long he's going to be able to do that move for. But man, what a, like, you know, I really like what I'm seeing from the development of a lot of these characters and a lot of these wrestlers. But Will Ospreay comes out, teases the Ricochet Will match, which kind of is what led to all of this, because Will Ospreay goes on Twitter, says people need to put some respect on Ricochet's name. He's one of the greatest professional wrestlers in the world. More people need to realize that this guy is absolutely just propping him up. And Ricochet bets on himself. His contract's up. He leaves WWE. He comes to AEW, all real life shit. So now you're like, okay, Will Ospreay is going to come out here and we're going to do this match. But instead, Pac comes out of nowhere, hits Will with a poison Rana, tells Ricochet, hey, buddy, glad you're here. Get the fuck back in the line. and then you go ahead and work for this. I'm taking this belt off of him. And now we're getting Pac versus Will Ospreay, which, I mean, nothing much more needs to be said. That is going to be a 5-star contender match of the year.
Right.
And that's not even, it does suck that you're not getting a lot of build with it, but considering that it's
has
a weak build, it's like,
right,
what are you really going to do?
What can you do?
And the MJF Pack build, or sorry, the MJF Will Ospreay build going into All In was so all encompassing. It needed all the space to tell the story. So you really couldn't get like someone else in there to like
act like
the next step. So this did come out of nowhere. But I do think it's going to lead to a fantastic match.
Yeah. Sure. Has Pac held a singles title?
Yes. He was the All Atlantic champion, which then became the international champion. So he was the first, I believe, the first All Atlantic champion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Atlantic champion. Okay.
I
know.
I actually really like that name, but it didn't roll off the tongue. You know?
Not quite.
Yeah, no. International is actually pretty cool. The more that I've gotten accustomed to it, I'm like, I thought the American one was great, but I really, really like the idea of the international championship. So yeah, I mean, I don't think Pac's gonna win, but I mean, shit, it'd be fucking cool if he did.
Yeah, I mean, the guy has earned it.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah,
you know, and the fact that's all he's won is just the one. Like, I'd love to see. I mean, The world needs a Pac title run, I think.
I think he will get it eventually. Whether it's the international or even the world, I could even see him go, or TNT. That would be another good option for him as well. Because I mean, yeah, you're right, man. It's fucking Pac. He's a god. Another interesting development, Jamie Hayter has returned. Shout out to the haters out there. And she's going into a program, into a feud with Saraya, which good, because Saraya needed something to do. And her promo in the press conference was scathing. So I loved it. So for me, Jake, I'm all in or all out.
All out? Yeah. One of the two.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like you said, Saraya needed something to do. It's a great, great one for Hayter to come back into. Mm-hmm. As she's been, you know, injured for a while, but it's going to be really nice to see what the two of them can do, because I get the sense that, and you could see it and you could feel it in her promo at that presser. Saraya's like tired of being on the sidelines.
Yeah.
You know, she's tired of being an afterthought, and it's, I think it's less to do with anything with her. Just like the women's division has been really good lately.
It has been.
But it's going to be fun to see both of them step back into this picture and see where that goes.
Yeah.
Because yes, man, that promo. Woo.
Yeah. But that's
just
good,
pure vitriol.
You need someone to bounce off of, right? Mm-hmm. You need Saraya is perfect for that, because she's visibly angry. She's got a very real issue, but it plays really well into the storyline. And then Jamie Hayter coming back into this gives her a lot of wiggle room to be able to grow her character, kind of like what we're seeing now with MJF and Daniel Garcia, because Daniel Garcia, I mean, there was no doubt in anyone's mind. Daniel Garcia, absolutely generational talent, super, super good wrestler. He's got, you know, a little gimmick that he was going on, the run that he went on where he was winning nonstop, but he was like falling short when he would challenge for the title, but he would like keep going on the run with Daddy Magic on commentary, constantly bigging him up along the way. Like, all that was great. That leading to the destruction of Daniel Garcia, taking him off TV for a little while, which was, again, another brilliant thing to do. And you really, you used so many people in an appropriate way. Now that he's back, right, I feel like you're now going to get this, like, Daniel Garcia 2.0, you know, this, like, new character that's going to start to form. It's more vicious character that's going to start to form. And it reminds me a lot of Hangman and Swerve.
Yes.
But, like, in a different way, you know what I mean? In a different way. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, Garcia's grown so much over the last year or two.
Yeah.
And it's really been like, I feel pretty organic, the way he's kind of come along and grown and, seen the crowd get behind him.
Yeah.
I think MJF is a perfect foil for him. And yeah, I agree. Like, I think, if there's one thing about MJF, like, he's clearly down to do anything. He's down to try anything and, you know, put 100% of himself into it. And if you're wanting to build up someone like Garcia, that's how you need to do it, is with someone who's going to put 100% into the feud. And yeah, I'm really excited about it too, because this is, again, one of those storylines that just makes sense. It just works. And it's one that, like, quite honestly, while it's kind of like, I don't want to say safe to make it seem like it's, like an easy route or whatever. It's a smart way to go. And especially with only a week buildup, That's why we're so interested in this match, is because the groundwork has already been laid previously, and we're seeing this payoff come to fruition. And I think that's what could make this match actually interesting, is usually you do have that time to, like, let things fester and, you know, like, build it up or whatever. But I kind of like the fact that this seems like, in a way, their version of Backlash, where it's like, okay, well, you've this guy pissed me off at All In, so now 2 weeks later, I must murder him.
Yeah,
like, that's good. That's what it feels so like. I kind of like. While I don't like that we're doing a big, another huge event so quickly after that one, it can work with the story because all like these wounds are still so fresh.
That was a seed that was planted, you know, a few weeks back. And, and as we had said, like the Will Ospreay MJF match, which was the big thing to do, because after Will lost to Swerve and, you know, he was on his undefeated run, everyone was like, what's going to happen to Will Ospreay? He doesn't have his belt anymore. He loses to MJF. Like, he has like the worst couple weeks ever. And then he, you know, we knew that we were going to get, because that was kind of like the whole thing with Will, was like he wanted to have like the big Wembley moment, and he got it, you know. But not only did he get it, he got in like one of the best matches of the evening. So it was like, you know, you saw where all this was going, but the character development that came through, if anything, the weakest person, excuse me, of this whole thing was Will Ospreay. He was the, he was by far the most forgettable, quote unquote, of this entire build. And I don't know if that's going to become a problem down the line, because, you know, it could, but I don't foresee it happening like that.
I don't think so.
Not with Will Ospreay. We already know the guy can cut it.
And he's kind of moved on. I mean, he's kind of moved on from the MJF feud a little bit, I think, anyway. I mean, that's not to say, I mean, at least for now. That's clearly
because Daniel Garcia is a perfect wedge, right? Separates them completely, allows MJF to go and have this next feud with Daniel Garcia, because he's just been a feud pilled the entire time. And then you have Will Ospreay, who now gets to go and have like 5-star matches that make Meltzer just cream his pants with, like, you know, the greatest professional wrestlers in the world, in Pac, in Kyle Fletcher, in freaking Ricochet, in Penta, in Rey Fenix. Like, you know, like you just have like, just, I mean, the options are endless there. So yeah, it is quite exciting. There was one thing in this Dynamite that apparently ruffled some feathers, but I thought it was fucking hilarious. And that was the Mercedes Moné segment in the back with Private Party and Okada. And apparently people are mad that Okada is like a comedy character. But I was watching Ups and Downs, as I, as one does. And Simon Miller said it best. Okada is like just this generation's Kurt Angle. He is just a chameleon. He can blend into a variety of different things. And it's crazy because it's like English isn't his first language. He's like just constantly learning it and getting better and getting better and getting better. Mm. And he's still like, I mean, this man is one of the greatest world champions ever.
He's like, wrestling's Shohei Ohtani.
Yes.
Like, like it's, there's nothing that the guy can't do.
Yeah.
And even in, even when it's something that's new for him or something fresh, he's like a duck to water, man.
Yeah.
Like, like, when he came in, was announced, like, obviously I was excited to see like, what is he going to do with the talent in AEW and with a bigger audience? Like, what direction are we going to take him? And I think I said it a few months back on one of the shows, but no one told me that he's one of the funniest people.
Yeah.
And like his timing is so great. We saw it in Blood and Guts. That's why I was so impressed with him in Blood and Guts, because he was able to take, you know, even though he doesn't really do the hardcore type matches, he took it in a comedy direction and crushed it.
So I
really like what Okada's doing. I think it's great.
The only negative is just the fact that
he's like an 80s movie bad guy.
Yes. Oh, and especially, you know, with the suits too. It's been so good. The only fault is that the Continental Championship is just a nothing belt. But apparently, I guess they're going to do the Continental Crown again, which like, all right. I mean, I love the tournament. AEW crushes tournaments all the time, but man, this belt has gotten no play whatsoever. So I don't know. I'm excited for the tournament. I don't necessarily care much for the title, but I do care for Okada, and I think he's doing some really cool stuff right now. But of course, his elite stablemate would not be outdone by Okada drinking, taking some Liquid Courage and dancing with Mercedes Moné, because Jack Perry, at the end of Dynamite, issued a challenge to one Bryanson Daniel man, Bryan Danielson, our new AEW world champion. He said in his promo, he will keep going until he loses. And when he loses, that's when he will retire, which we had talked about never really being a story before. So that's kind of cool. But the justification here was great. And I always thought about this. I always had this in the back of my mind. Why did Jack Perry pin Bryan Danielson at Anarchy in the Arena? Now, they could have pinned anyone. They could have pinned Dax. They could have pinned Cash. That probably would have been way better, right? To like get the win out there, you know? But they pinned Danielson. And then Danielson goes on the run because he's like, I lost. I need to find this spark again. And he found it in the Owen Hart. He found it with like the time limit that he set for himself. And then Jack Perry comes out and he's like, hey, remember when I need the shit out of you in Anarchy in the Arena?
I'm
up next and I'm going to take that belt from you. I really like that. I
like it too.
Like long-term storytelling, subtle, nothing too crazy, but it adds to it. And I mean, and Jack Perry has been like his coffin match with Darby.
And that's the thing is he's actually built himself as a credible threat.
Yeah.
I mean, because he's good. And that's even without the Elite, because he did that. He did that in that coffin match. That was something that Matt talked about last week is not like him when you challenge someone to their specialty match. And I get it. But if you were going to have him go over to then challenge Bryanson, if you were going to have him do that to challenge Danielson, it makes sense that he goes over. It's like, I'm coming into your house and I'm taking you down. And guess what? I'm on a run. I'm holding a belt myself. Yeah. This is my time, old man. I'll happily retire your ass.
Yeah.
It's perfectly in line with what we've seen from Jack Perry. It makes 100% sense. So, and you're right. I had forgotten about him getting the pin at Anarchy in the Arena. So like, yeah. So it's more setup that we've seen in the past to capitalize on later. So,
yeah.
Bravo AEW, because I like that's one thing that has always kind of been a bee in my bonnet, if you will, with AEW is that story often takes a back seat.
Yeah.
And that's a long term plan. So I really like that.
And we were talking about AEW a few weeks back hitting a creative wall. You know, and I do feel like they
with the build all in. That's what was so strange.
Yeah. With the build all in. But then all in happens. And then this week comes and you're like, oh, no, they're cooking. They have like really good ideas and they're going to push us forward. So I'm excited. I kind of hope All Out is a smaller card. And it's not like a massive 10 match card, because right now I think they already have 5 matches and they have 5 really good well-justified matches
for
All Out.
I think you add one, maybe two more.
I can't see them doing the WWE 5-match, you know, method, but I could definitely see them doing, like, because it's a pay-per-view, you pay for it. So you probably want people to feel like they're getting their money's worth. So six, I completely understand that. So six or seven
is great.
Yeah, exactly. I'm really, really looking forward to it. So, yeah, but a lot of cool stuff happening over in the world of AEW. You know, All Out is going to be next week. So we'll see what the build continues to look like here. But when we come back, we're going to talk some WWE and preview Bash at Berlin, which is happening like tomorrow or today, depending on when this comes out.
Yesterday, if you're depending exactly on whenever you listen to this.
Just got to get this shit out there. But anyway, we'll be right back.
Today's episode is brought to you by Factor. Summer is still here, so fuel up to get out there with Factor's chef-curated, no prep, no mess meals. There are so many options. I mean, I'm a wrestler, was a wrestler, whatever. I'm still active, so I love the Protein Plus option, but you've got things like keto, you've got Calorie Smart, you've got all kinds of options. There are tons, 35 different meals, 60 different add-ons. There is something for absolutely everybody here. You can crush your wellness goals, your fitness goals, your diet goals, whatever you need. Factor's got you covered. So you can head to factormeals.com/rebooked50 and use code rebooked50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code rebooked50 at factormeals.com/rebooked50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
Okay, so and first things first, you may have noticed we got
ads. We have now. Sponsors.
We have sponsors. We're what? Doing it. Oh man, we're doing it. That means
we're a real boy.
Yeah,
we're like a real boy.
We're getting there little by little. Big shout out. All right. Well, let's go ahead and focus our attention over toward some WWE goodness, because now I'm going to come out and say this flat out. Okay, because I've been talking to a few friends of mine, just a Codnex. I had a buddy of mine, Kevin, who's like just big of a wrestling fan as all of us. And he's always like yapping with me about all the stuff. And he was like, man, SmackDown kind of sucks lately. And Raw's been on fire. And I'm like,
it seems like they go back and forth.
They really do go back and forth. And I don't think SmackDown has sucked. I just think it's been more like there's just so many good storylines in Raw. And if anything, Bash of Berlin very much has the DNA of Raw all over it, outside of the one
it's a very
match,
Raw heavy card,
which is good because I think like SmackDown's been getting a lot of that top billing as of late, and I do genuinely believe that, like, you know, you should do it. And I'll be upfront and say, like, Gunther and Randy should close the show. If Gunther without and Randy question, does not close the show, that is
what are we doing?
Why are we doing this show in Germany if your German champion isn't closing the show? I understand that they can open it and they could still have a great match.
Nope.
But come on, man. Just give the World Heavyweight Championship the ending of the show.
It's the best storyline going right now that involves a title.
Yeah.
I mean, without question, it has to be the main event.
Has to be. So we'll talk about Bash in a little bit. But let's dive into some Monday Night Raw here, because a lot had happened. You know, we got a little bit more of a push with Rhea and Damian. Nothing all that wild happened there. This matchup should be very fun. So I think, like, you know, when you kind of think about how this match should play out, I think this should end with Damian and Rhea having their hands raised, and Liv and Dom can kind of lick their wounds. Wouldn't be shocked as well if Rhea gets the pin on Liv. And then, you know, that kind of sets up the justification for them fighting again
for
the title. Or, wait a minute, what you got?
I think it's better if Rhea gets... Now, it depends on the rules of the match.
Hold on, wait a minute. Hold on a second.
But if Rhea pinned Dominic...
Oh?
Because then you still kind of keep... like, you can still do a follow-up later with, like, you know, Rhea has one over on Dominic, who that's a little, I mean, she as much wants revenge on him as she does on Liv.
Yeah, that's true.
And it keeps Rhea and Liv away from each other a little bit. You can still further that, you know, you didn't pin me and I'm the champion. You know, you can still do that's a little true. More of that stuff. So if there's a world in which that could happen, I would honestly go that way. If it were me, I would love to see Rhea get the pin on Dominic.
That'd be
who
crazy.
She just did a riptide to.
Yeah.
I would love that.
That actually would be pretty dope. I'm with that. I support that. I think that they don't want to send a message of women beating up men and men beating up women. I know that WWE has been very cagey about that in the past, whereas like an independent, which is where,
and
you know,
understandably, like, has a hesitance to possibly,
and as
do
a company,
now.
You know, given that a certain documentary is going to be coming out in a few days, so like
that's
on Netflix,
true.
So I don't know if they want to bark up that tree, but I think that we
but it
can.
Also makes sense because Dominic is a piece of shit.
Yes, Dominic is a piece of shit. So he is the first double turned heel in the last few years.
And yes, in the last few years, because the more I have thought about it, because I did see him say recently, I think I'm the first one to do that. But the most recent one I can think of is Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
With the Festival of Friendship.
Yeah.
That's the other one that I was like.
The Festival of Friendship was one of the greatest promos, one of the greatest segments of a wrestling show ever. God, man, they've ruined that fucking get Bill Goldberg. God damn it, dude. You bum. Anyway, you know, it's just disappointing, man. Just wait, like that should have been Jericho KO. Anyway, I don't want to get into it.
Yeah.
No, you're right, though. That is going to be interesting to see where that goes. Now, another interesting storyline that has been happening in the shadows has been the slow turn of our friend Xavier Woods, a.k.a. Austin Creed, a.k.a. the host of Up, Up, Down, Down.
Wearing all black?
He was wearing black? No, Creed, surely not.
Nary a color to be found on his gear.
It was black and gray.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Disgusting. Yeah. That's how you know. I mean, I don't like where this is going. I don't like where this is going. Someone did.
He's
going
to start listening to Evanescence and like.
We're going down. We're going too far down the rabbit hole at that point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If this guy comes out to Evanescence one week, I'll ride, lose my shit. So someone
bring me to life.
One of our fans, one of our viewers, I should say, tuned in two episodes ago and left a really good comment when we did talk about Woods. Making this heel turn. And he said, who is speaking to me now in wrestling? I have to agree with Jake. Xavier Woods is really contemplating his future at the moment. Can the New Day be the first group ever to break the curse of longtime crews standing together forever? Or does he fully turn and finally become Consequences Creed? That's his fantasy booking.
Will
Big E make an appearance? This story has me hooked. And I'm in the same boat. I want to know what's happening here, man. I don't like the idea of him joining the Final Testament. I don't think that that really fits him. But I like the idea of Woods becoming a bad guy.
This needs to be, to me, kind of a Kylo Ren situation. Like a good guy who was going down the right path, who then like starts to become corrupted by this idea that maybe it's other people who are holding me back, you know? Mm-hmm. And I love it, man. Like it's been, like you said, it's been such a beautiful slow burn.
Yeah.
With everything that Creed has been doing. And you can see that he's fighting this. You can see that he's fighting this new side of him, quite frankly.
Demon.
Yeah, he really is. And even he had debuted like a new move set.
Yeah.
In that triple threat, which that triple threat match was fantastic.
I know. I haven't had a chance to go and watch the matches yet. I'm going to do that after we're done recording.
Let me tell you
the stories, but
Miz, Pete, and Woods put on a great triple threat match. I mean, it was genuinely very good. I thought it was the better of the two triple threats.
WWE has been knocking it out of the park with these triple threat qualification matches.
I originally didn't like it because I was like, sometimes it feels like overcrowding a title picture.
Yeah.
But you're right. In this case, like they've been really, really doing something great
because they use them for stories.
Yes. Right?
They use them to push stories forward. They don't just let the
not just one, several stories are being told in the same match.
Yeah. Because in that match you had Miz, right? Who is in a bad losing streak.
Who may also be turning heel again.
Exactly. And he's been having a real rough time of it. Right. Mm-hmm. So he's trying to redeem himself. You have Woods, who is currently in this dark era of his, character. And then you have Pete Dunne, who...
Ooh, about to make a name for myself.
About to make a name for himself today. he is starting... We're starting to see that bruiserweight come back.
I know. It's
one of the longest reigning NXT UK champions. This man's an absolute demon. He's a unit of a man. He may not look it because he's a smaller stature, but this dude, my God, he could take an ass beating. He is just unbelievable.
He's a dump truck, man.
He truly is, man. And he is going to be, I think that the smart money in the Fatal 4-Way is going to be, because it's a Fatal 4-Way to determine who fights Braun Breaker, right?
Yeah.
I think it's going to end up being Jey Uso. That makes the most sense. So but I really do like what we're seeing here with Pete Dunne. But that does give us an opportunity to move forward into that, though, because Bron Breakker, I mean, oh, fucking love this dude. He's nailing it right now.
In all aspects.
Because in NXT,
his promos
weren't like amazing in NXT, but I also think the stories didn't really give him much to work with. But then when he goes out there and he's talking about how, hey, Jey Uso, you better keep my name out your mouth. You know, our family's got some history.
Got hit. Yeah.
Put that shit right in my veins, man. You're going to bring back the freaking, the Anoa'i family, right? I believe it's the Anoa'i family. And the Steiners?
And the Steiners.
That's a territory feud, man. That's a territory feud. And we're bringing it back. Oh, brother, that is, I'm really excited for that. And I think that they're going to do some really, really wild stuff in that Fatal 4-Way. And if we end up getting Jey and Bron, because that's like an opponent that like, Jey's never fought before, you know?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Fast, powerful. Like, you can make the argument Roman, but like, Roman is a methodical, you know, beat you down kind of guy. Bron is just like a beast, you know? Yeah. I don't know, man. I'm pumped.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great. I can't wait to see. I don't know for sure. I don't even know if it's been announced who's in these other two matches.
Yeah, well, I'm sure we'll find out tonight we'll on find SmackDown.
We'll probably find out tonight, yeah. But, yeah, it's Bron is doing is so well. Bron's Breakker, however, is getting uncomfortably dark to a point where it's starting to feel borderline. Like, just a hair to, like, just... Yeah. Just tone it down, quite literally. Tone it down.
Oh, his the bronzing. Yes. I mean, my guy is definitely looked toward maybe some old presidents and was like, maybe that could look like, how orange can I make myself? I agree. But that also was Scott Steiner.
He's starting to look like a catcher's mitt. Like
but Scott Steiner was the same thing, though. Like, he did literally the same thing. Another few that has continued through, and I think, you know, we now see it's going to be leading to a BO3 series more than likely, is Punk and Drew. You know, Punk comes out, beats him up with the strap match. Drew's cutting his promo. They're still doing good work. I want to be very clear here. They're still doing good work. But at this point, I don't really care for the promos, and I care mostly for the matches, which is good.
Yes, I agree. Like, everything that could be said in this feud has been said.
Yeah.
Now now it's time for action.
Yeah. 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 I agree.
I mean, that's kind of how I feel. But I tell you one thing that I do want is I want CM Punk's bracelet to be held up like a title before the strap match. Like I just with two little pointer fingers, you know, like, the following match is scheduled for one fall. And one is for this little bracelet.
And it's for CM like, Punk's love and affection.
And I just want to just the ref with all seriousness holding it up just between the two fingers.
And then they do a graphic that comes up on the side there. And it's like all the beads coming together with like with his doggy's face like right in the middle, dude. That shit would That shit would send me.
That's what I need more than anything.
But this feud is definitely like as far as promos has ran its course, I will say it does start to feel a little like kind of like the way that Cody was in his own universe in AEW. It kind of feels like that's the case with CM Punk, that he's just in his own universe. He hasn't really like done any, he's not wrestling matches. So it's very clear that like, they're not putting him in regular matches because I mean, he could get hurt. So, you know, that has happened now multiple times now. So it is, I don't know.
But what I like is that this almost like, the reason we haven't done much with Punk is Punk's dealing with the demons from his past.
That's true.
He's literally reaping what he sowed 10 years ago. And that's also what makes it compelling. Cause you know, as soon as he's done with Drew or Drew's done with him, now he's got to deal with Seth.
Yeah.
Whenever he comes back.
Yeah.
So there's so many directions that they can go with Punk. I don't think I don't think he needs a title. I don't think he needs to be in a title picture. And I don't know that he wants to be in a title picture. I think he likes what he's doing now.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like he's really putting his all into this feud, as is Drew. Yeah. And they're both doing
This has been a career defining feud for both men. I mean, I will say, like, from a story perspective, like, kind of like the way we talked about the Festival of Friendship. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about Punk and Drew, you know, for a very long time, because like they have done some really excellent work. It's just that they did so much of it on the front end. And if they are going to carry this forward to a best of three series, because like Drew won the first one. Punk should theoretically win the strap match. So then you got to end it at a steel cage, which it kind of was what they had alluded to.
Or a Hell in a Cell.
Hell in a Cell, mostly. That's what, they had alluded to that in that press conference when he was like, "What do you mean we're going to do Hell in a Cell?" And he like said he was dumb. And I was like, you know, that question was really stupid. Why would that guy ask that question? And now I'm like, oh, I think they were just like kind of telling us where this is going to end up going, which is to Hell in a Cell.
At Bad Blood.
At Bad Blood. Yeah. Yeah. Hell in a Cell match at Bad Blood. I'm in. There's no negative there. The only negative would be hopefully someone doesn't get hurt so that it doesn't throw off this whole storyline that has been expertly built, to be completely honest with you. Speaking of well-built storylines, though, we got a big main event on this Monday Night Raw, and that was Uncle Howdy taking on Chad Gable. And, you know, man, I like what they're doing with Uncle Howdy. He's not the demon.
He's not inhuman. I actually really like that. I watched the match, and it was one that I kind of had to sit with me because it was not what I expected. Mm-hmm. I really expected this to come out and be some kind of squash match, you know, like we used to do with the Fiend. Mm-hmm. But it made sense.
Yeah.
It made sense that it went the way that it did. Like, it showed some vulnerability. And I think that that's a good thing for this storyline. And it actually, it makes you root for Uncle Howdy even more.
Yeah, it really does.
You know, the fact that it's just like, it's not this supernatural thing that's causing him to, you know,
be the way that he is.
To be the way. Yeah. It's grit. Yeah. It's determination. It's
which leads into the character very well because of the whole reason why this came about.
Why there? Yes, 100%, and that makes it far more compelling. So I really like how that match went, and I think it was kind of a thing too where the crowd wasn't really sure what to expect.
Yeah.
With the match, and nobody did. I mean, it was the first time we were going to see Uncle Howdy in the ring at all. So. It was really cool to see like him having to fight from behind. It also, it made Chad Gable look good.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just like Uncle Howdy is just this, Joker-esque character who, you know, maybe he can't hang physically with Batman.
Yeah.
But that son of a bitch will not stay down.
Yeah.
And that's a really fun element to see.
And I want them to lean into that. I want them to lean into him not quitting. Like,
he won't stop.
That's how you build. That's how you build a good guy. That's how you build someone you want to cheer for. It's why Sami Zayn in that moment, why Sami Zayn and Gunther made so much sense in that match in WrestleMania, because Sami Zayn was like the ultimate underdog, right? Was finally living into that gimmick in a way that we had never really seen at a stage like that before. This is going to be the same thing for Uncle Howdy.
And that's also what I think some people forget can make a great monster, right? Is not the fact that they're super powered, not the fact that they have this incredible strength and whatever. It's they don't stop. Michael Myers is terrifying because he just keeps walking towards you.
Something just dawned.
The time.
Something just dawned, and you're right. You know who this reminds me of?
Hmm.
Mankind.
Yes, that's yes.
It's Mankind. This is Mankind. Like,
yes,
basically, Mankind wasn't a superpowered, you know, character. But yeah, this guy who, you know, looked like crap was taking on The Undertaker.
Yeah.
Taking on Kane. taking on DX, taking on these big teams, taking the on pain, all everything.
The pain is not what stops him. It's what drives him. That's compelling.
But the thing is, though, and this is where I'm curious to see how far, Bo Dallas can go here, because part of the reason why Mankind works so well was because Mick Foley's fucking insane. So I don't know if Bo is going to be as crazy, but we've seen what Bo could do. Like, honestly, the fact that Bo Dallas is even getting this shot to do this makes me very happy, because his NXT title run was one of the most underrated and one of the most entertaining title runs in that company's history.
Agreed.
And then he kind of just faded away. He just went away because they couldn't do anything with him, because they didn't know what to do with him, because Vince McMahon was incapable.
He's the original Joe Hendry.
Yeah, he really is. You know, just believe. Like, his shit was fucking brilliant. You know, and
doing the run around the ring on the outside. Like,
looking like an idiot with his freaking white trunks, you know, like, oh my, it was just so good. It was so good. So, yeah, this gives me that vibe. It depends on how far, Bo Dallas is willing to go with this. Mm-hmm. I think he can go quite far. And I'm very much looking forward to it. Before we wrap things up, though, and we get ready to talk about Bash of Berlin, maybe we'll save this for the actual conversation, but you'll notice we haven't really talked much about SmackDown, because again, SmackDown's been good. There have been some great moments to it, but for the most part right now, like with Bash of Berlin and the way the card has been formed, SmackDown's definitely taken a back seat a little bit here. Do you think that's good? Do you think that's a good thing to have happen? Cause I think it is quite good.
Yeah, I do. I think like it feels like both shows have kind of traded off, mm-hmm. Like SmackDown will have a run for a few months, then it swaps over to Raw, because it felt like for the longest time, especially when we were building up to Mania, SmackDown was the A show for the longest time.
It was a show everyone was watching.
Everyone was watching. It had The Rock on it, and it had, and Raw was just kind of chugging along.
Yeah. Well, that was a Punk and Drew feud was kind of like taking over Raw, if you remember, right?
Sure.
But like they were still bleeding it over into SmackDown, and then, but you're totally right on that one.
But the pieces, pieces were being laid out, especially with Judgment Day and Liv and Dom. And so they're allowing time for things to breathe and to find their legs. And I think that that's what SmackDown's doing to an extent, is like, hey, this is Raw's time to be the A show. It'll be our time to be the A show soon enough.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to overwhelm your audience too much.
I agree. You don't want to have like these cards. I actually think that the contained five match card works very well right now with the way that WWE is building their stories. I'm all about it. I think that, like, even though SmackDown's a little weaker right now, and we'll talk about the one, I guess, SmackDown match that's like on the card, you're still getting good stuff with Roman and the Bloodline, the crowd is going nuts, chanting OTC, LA Knight, new US champion. I believe he's going into a feud with Santos Escobar, which is another character that has been slowly building to this moment. So it's very exciting to see what they end up doing with Santos, because I don't think they're going to drop the ball with him.
You've also got Street Profits, and
that's true.
And DIY, who are all kind of feuding with the Bloodline as well. So there is some things there, and groundwork's being laid for sure.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah, I'm excited. We'll see what happens with SmackDown. Of course, that'll be happening Friday. So either you're going to hear this Saturday morning, or you hear it today, probably Saturday morning. I don't know. I'm going to get it out today. We'll get it out today. We'll make sure to cover all that stuff. Talk about it next week, what the fallout is. But when we return, we're going to dive really quick into the Bash at Berlin card. Who wins? Who loses? We'll be right back.
Last week, we had a nice little appetizer, but now it's time to feast, because college football is back, baby!
Don't miss any of the action. Jump in at DraftKings Sportsbook. We got a full slate of games week one. I'm talking the big matchup in Atlanta against number 14 Clemson and number 1 Georgia. We got the number 7 Fighting Irish visiting the 6th man down in Texas A&M ranked at 20. Then USC at 23, plays LSU ranked 13 in Vegas, and then we got my number 5 Crimson Tide starting their journey to the tippy top of college football with Western Kentucky at Bryant-Denny Stadium. It's going to be the biggest DraftKings college football season to date, so enjoy the ride now all the way through those sweet, sweet, brand new expanded playoffs. Mwah. Plus, all you newbies out there, or as true freshmen, as I like to call them, all you newbies getting in the college spirit, here's a little something extra for you. New DraftKings customers bet $5 to get $250 in bonus bets instantly. That deal is crazy. Score big with DraftKings all college football season long. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code COMBINE. That's code COMBINE for new customers to get $250 in bonus bets when you just bet $5 only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, you can call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, Kansas, 21 plus age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gambling resources, see dkng.co/ftball.
Welcome back to Freebook. Look at that. We got another sponsor.
That's two.
That's two. Okay, guys, we're freaking doing it. All right, so let's go ahead and dive in to Bash in Berlin. I kept saying Bash at Berlin, even though I like Bash at Berlin, but Bash in Berlin is the show.
The Bash, of course, at Berlin was a different, that was 70-80 years ago.
Yeah, and people were, yeah, well, yeah, you guess you're not wrong about that one there, brother.
The Faces won that one.
The Faces did win that one, famously. I am personally thankful for that. Now, let's now dive into this card. As we mentioned before, it's going to be a smaller card. You only have a couple of matches here, and we'll speak about that real quick. You got Cody versus KO. You got Damien and Rhea versus Dom and Liv in a mixed tag match. You got Alba and Isla versus Jade and Bianca for the women's tag titles. You have CM Punk versus Drew in a strap match. Then you get Gunther versus Randy Orton for the World Heavyweight Championship. So you definitely have a lot of good matches to sink your teeth into here. And we'll start first with the WWE Championship matchup, which of course is going to be Cody Rhodes versus Kevin Owens. Now this one is an odd one, because it came about with Cody saying, "Hey, KO, you've had my back for a really long time. I want to give you this opportunity." And KO is like, "I don't want it. I don't deserve it. I shouldn't have this." But Cody's just like, "No, man, you're going to do it. You're going to do it. We're going to do this. It's going to be a great match. I can't wait to face off against you, blah, blah, blah." But if there's one thing that we know about Kevin Owens, is that he is the new snake. And yeah, he has, I mean, everyone remembers Kevin Owens' debut on NXT. Sami Zayn just wins the NXT championship. Everyone was so happy. Kevin Owens, formerly known as Kevin Steen, left Ring of Honor to come to NXT. It was a massive moment. The crowd was hyped up. They were celebrating on the ramp. And then what does he do? That son of a bitch. He hits an apron bomb on to Sami Zayn, starting and continuing, I should say, from Ring of Honor. One of the greatest feuds in the entirety of professional wrestling, not just WWE, because El Generico, Kevin Steen in Ring of Honor, that carried forward, right? So he has always been the guy that will have no problem turning. And we talked about this previously where we're like, it's going to come down to Kevin Owens saying, you made me do this. You made me do this.
Yeah. Yeah. That was my exact point when we talked about it last time, was like, it feels like Kevin knows in order to win this title, he's going to have to access a part of his personality and a part of himself that he has cast aside.
Yeah.
And he knows that if he taps into that, it's dangerous. There might be no coming back from that. And I think that's been as much of his hesitancy as anything. He's brought up his record. My record hasn't been great and blah, blah, blah. And I think that's a great bit of storytelling, because you know what, Kev? Maybe that's why your record has been so bad.
Yeah.
Maybe you lost that killer
and
instinct.
They have that one tease last week when KO picked up the belt and he looked
I'm
like he was going to strike
it's
him.
His, and it's then Cody. It's his one ring. It's his one ring.
Yeah. But Cody, though, to his credit, played that incredibly well, too, because he's in that moment and he like sees it happen. He sees what we all see, you know, and he's just like, OK, we'll raise our hands right now. But I'm going to
keep fella.
Yeah. Sun's coming down here.
Easy. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. That's going to be really cool. I think Cody wins without a doubt. But
I think Cody wins.
But what happens afterwards?
I think we see Kevin Owens turn heel.
Do you think he does it at the match, or do you think he does it on SmackDown?
No, I think he does it at the match. Ooh. I don't know why, but I just do. Because I think that's going to be the match that kicks it off.
Yeah.
And what a way to kick it off if Kevin Owens.
That's true.
Just.
You can hear Michael
Cody
Cole
Rhodes.
Just yelling, "Why KO? Why?" Yeah. You can hear
I think,
it. You can hear
I
it.
I think it'll be the typical, like, we'll see flashes of him, like, do I do this? Do I do that? What do I do? And he loses. Mm-hmm. And then after, they have that show of respect. And Kevin realizes the one person he doesn't respect anymore is himself. And that's when he turns on Cody and is like, I realized halfway through this match that I wanted it more than anything in the world. And I'll be damned if I'm going to be stopped from getting it now.
Damn, son. I can't wait. That's going to be a good one.
It's Tony Stark creating Ultron.
Yeah.
That's kind of what
it's
it is
right there.
Right
it's right there. Yeah. It sets itself up beautifully. All right. Well, moving on to our next match, we got our mixed tag matchup that is going to be quite fun. Let me go ahead and fix this graphic here a little bit. Boom. There you go. We have, of course,
get more of the lovely Liv in that picture.
Yeah. I mean, Liv looks great. Rhea, I mean, she's just the. Doing a lot of things with her tongue lately, and she's been
what?
Yeah. And then of course, God, if you would have told me Dominic Mysterio would be one of the most compelling characters in all of professional wrestling, I would have told you to be fucking insane. And now here we are. Yeah. Dominic Mysterio is one of the most compelling characters in all of professional wrestling.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And then of course we have the rocket ship that's being strapped to Damian Priest as like the face of Monday Night Raw. I mean, we talked about this briefly in our last segment, but you would like to see Rhea hit a riptide on Dom to win. And then that maybe leads into there. I think Rhea pins Liv, but now it just matters to see like who's right and who's wrong, you know?
For sure.
And I think Damian Priest is going to have some pretty hype moments. I am expecting, Finn Balor to be involved. And
I don't think there's any question.
And I think
that involved in some way.
I think that is how Damian gets removed from the equation, because I think honestly, like Damian versus Dom doesn't stand a chance. I mean, Damian will destroy Dom. You know, like that has been very made evidently clear that Damian Priest is, you know, at a 92 star rating in WWE 2K24, and Dominic Mysterio is like an 82 right now. right? So theoretically, the math ain't mathing. So I think something's going to happen where Damian gets removed from the match. And then it's going to be Liv in a 1v2 again. Or sorry, in a Rhea in a 1v2 against Liv and Dom, which would be fucking hype. And that could lead to what you were talking about or what I was talking about. What do you think? Do you think that theory's could happen?
I really like that. I really like that idea a lot. Just to have now one way you could neutralize Damian is if the match starts out with Liv and Rhea, and Liv just kind of takes over and does not let Rhea tag him in.
Yeah.
And we just kind of see this moment. What would be great is if we do something like that. We see this moment where everyone's begging, let Damian tag Damian in. Get Damian and Dom in the ring. Let him tear Dom apart.
Yep.
And just as she finally makes that hot tag, and he starts to take a step into the ring, that other foot gets grabbed and is pulled out by that bastard Finn Balor.
Dude,
would be pretty incredible.
Yeah, I mean, that would be
an incredible moment.
I feel like we got to get Finn and Damian eventually. Like,
without a doubt, that's what so much this is building toward. Yeah.
We have a great pay-per-view title that could really help to, you know, bridge that gap called Bad Blood. So they have a lot of good feuds going into that
one. And would it be interesting to see the return at Bad Blood of certain alter ego,
a demon, if you will? I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if Finn wants to do that again. I mean,
I don't know if he does either, but it would be fun.
They kind of ruined it. Because in the end, the demon was defeated by a turnbuckle. So
that's true, but I think people would be forgiving of that.
Yeah, and Triple H is WWE.
I think so.
You're 100% right. You're 100% right. That is going to be a fun match, for sure. And I know that we're all very much eager and excited about it just because, you know, it's these guys are, you know, they're awesome. Like, and they have really taken chicken shit and turned it into chicken salad. And it is the most delicious chicken salad that you could possibly be treated to. And I didn't think that would happen. I didn't think that'd be a thing I was into, but here we are. All right.
Now, grapes and the chicken salad. Oh, it does.
And the chicken
works.
Shit too. Oh my God. I didn't know you needed that for seasoning. Yeah. All right. So now, our next matchup going into this one is going to be our women's tag title matchup. We have Alba Fire, Isla Dawn going up against Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair for the women's tag titles. This has been something that's been brewing for a while. I don't think, though, that Bianca and Jade win. I do feel like we got to get to a point where we're splitting these two up. Because they kind of crowd the tag division, because the tag division has a lot of options right now in the women's side. And these Jade and Bianca very much crowd the top of it to the point where it takes away a little bit. So I do think that the unholy union of Alba Fire and Isla Dawn will win this. I don't know. Do you think?
I agree 100%. Like this very much is like, it's kind of like two woman power trip kind of like it's you're right. It makes the tag division so top heavy when you're just focusing on these two, because they are powerhouses.
Yeah, bro.
I mean, they really are. I think Unholy Union comes away with this one somehow, I don't know how.
Yeah.
I guess a Blair Davenport, who's been kind of,
could be shenanigans.
Aligned with them.
Could be shenanigans.
Some sort of shenanigans, but...
Yeah.
I mean,
women's trios has become a thing quite a bit. Yeah. So...
Yeah. I don't think we see... I'm trying to decide, like, how... I mean, they need to be split. And I guess you have... Man, I guess you have Jade turn heel, maybe, or...
I think Bianca should turn heel.
I think she should too, because I actually liked when she was that heelish personality in NXT and it worked. I mean, the whole EST thing still works, but at the same time, she's such a great, like, it's one of those situations like kids love Bianca Belair.
That's true.
You know, and she has been such a beacon of positivity.
And Jade Cargill would be, I mean, her entire run in AEW, she was a bad guy. So yeah. Like, the thing is, though, is that Jade as a heel in AEW was very one trick. She was great. She called people a bitch and she talked and she cursed and she had a little posse with her that would, you know, cause problems. And then she'd go into the ring and then she'll win. And then that was basically her entire run in AEW. Right. I don't know if she can do that in WWE. Not the way she was doing in AEW, but I think that the machine over there is forged so many stars that I'm not worried about it. You know?
Yeah. I think whoever eats the pin is staying a face.
Okay. Ooh. Okay. Whoever eats the pin is staying a face. So whether it's Bianca or it's Jade, all right, that's a good point. That's a really good point. But I think, yeah, we both agree though. Tag title stay on the Unholy Union. It hasn't been the best run for them. So I can see the justification of them taking the belts off of them just because of the fact that it hasn't been great. But
by keeping it on them, it makes it feel like the tag division is more open. Does that make sense?
I agree with that. The reason why I think that you could theoretically take the titles off of them is because of the Pure Fusion Collective, or I won't be saying that full name, but Pure FC, because I think Pure FC actually has a pretty good justification for being in that division so aggressively there as well. Because I'm excited to see what they do.
But they've got to check like that. That I just don't know.
It should have just been Pure Fighting Club. I don't know why they made it Pure Fusion Collective. That just seems stupid. They want to fight. They're fighters. They're all fighters, right? Like Sonya Deville's first gimmick when she came to WWE, she was a boxer. She was, you know what I mean? Shayna Baszler. Like, come on, man. Like,
they seem like they're a nonprofit for renewable energy.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it sounds
like. When it should have been, they should have been the female version of the Blackpool Combat
Club. The BCC, yes.
That's what they needed. That's what they need to be, you know, because they are awesome and they kick a lot of ass. You also have Damage Control as well, picking up a big win too. So you're not wrong in that. The division is wide open if Isla and Alba win, but you could.
I think it creates more opportunity if they win.
Yeah, it does create more opportunity, but you could get a really cool story with Pure and Bianca and Jade if they were tag title holders. Yeah. Anyway, it's gonna be good. I you know, like last time these two fought was in Clash at the Castle. And it was a great match, and you know they ended up winning it. So yeah, I'm still down. I'm still excited, but I'm always going to be cautiously optimistic when it comes to women's tag wrestling in WWE because they don't have a great record of that one. So they got to fix that one day, or one way or another. All right, moving forward, our next match, the blood feud of all blood feuds.
As long as that match doesn't end with Bianca or Jade laying in the locker room floor crying about how they didn't win.
Yeah. Yeah. Avoid that, and then I think we're good. All right, well, let's go on to our strap match. This is going to be the continuation of the blood feud here. We talked a little bit about it previously in our last segment, so we won't spend too much time on this, but CM Punk should win this. He has a good record on strap matches when he did them in Ring of Honor, when he did them in AEW. So he should win this one theoretically. Would there be shenanigans? I'm assuming shenanigans, right?
I mean, maybe, but with who?
That's what I'm saying. Because Seth's
are
gone.
The shenanigans? Because Seth's gone. And it's, I mean, this match is no DQ anyway.
Yeah.
It's no DQ, no submission. You got to touch the four corners, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Are we going to have those dumb like lights that light up like that show?
Oh,
which
corner I'm in? Yeah. Yeah. We're like, maybe I can't see like them doing a visual.
Like it's a double dare.
They have the LED turnbuckles now, so they can actually use the LED turnbuckles.
That would actually be pretty cool.
Yeah. I would do that if I was the producer out there, I would be like, guys, we should bring back the LED turnbuckle gimmick. You know what though? Now that you mention that, I do think that this feud can use another person. Who that is, I don't know, but I have a feeling we're going to be very surprised coming out of this matchup. Like, I don't know who gets involved, but
I don't know either.
But there's no way they're just going to go out there and have a straight match. There's just no way. Like, there's no way that like Punk is just going
to because there
pin
there
Drew,
has to there you know, has to be another pin, reason but. To keep them if we are going the direction of Hell in a Cell. It's got to be a reason for them to be in there other than just,
well, I would say
it would intended bad blood.
It would more than likely be because, you know, this isn't going to be a stipulation where Drew has to keep his shoulders on the mat. Right. So if anything, you get away with it with a CM Punk who, you know, scrapes by and hits all four turnbuckles and then gets the win, you know, and then Drew comes out and he's like, you know, you beat me in a gimmick matchup. You know what? I'm tired of this. Like, because usually Hell in a Cell, right? The reason why Hell in a Cell happens in WWE's past, from my remembering some of these, is because they want to keep someone out, or keep someone removed from the matchup. Right now, you could make the justification
and
Hell
keep
in a Cell
them in, yeah,
yeah, and keep these two in the middle of the ring. So either something happens that these guys end up outside of the ring and it's like carnage and chaos, or someone interferes and then they're like, no, screw that, you know, but how does that work? And also it's like Drew won the first one. So if you are going to do Hell in a Cell of Bad Blood, right? Or just a bad blood, you know, like for this BO3 series, even though they haven't said it, but it feels like it could very well be that. Punk's got to win. And there have been discussions lately about CM Punk being the bad guy in this feud. We talked about it previously on the show. See more and more people talk about it as well. And dude, we could see a turn. You know, we could see a double turn.
We could.
Like, I don't know. I don't know, man.
I don't know how, man, I don't know how you do that.
I don't know either.
I don't
either.
Know how you do that.
I don't
because
know
either. As long as Drew still has that bracelet, he's the bad guy.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned.
But you get like kind of a Kevin Owens situation where it's like, you made me do this. You made me, you know, dip into a part of my mind that, you know, I've locked away for a very long time. But the thing
sure,
is, CM
but,
Punk's,
argue, yeah. but arguably, arguably, Drew deserves that. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is it's justified. That's why, like this, that's what's been interesting to me about this, about this feud is like they're both right.
Yeah, they're both,
you know what
right
I mean?
They're both kind of sort of right.
They're both kind of sort of right, and they're also like continually having these self-fulfilled prophecies.
Yeah,
like because Drew's right. Drew's like, oh, all CM Punk has ever done is attack me from behind, and what happens after that very promo? CM Punk attacks him from behind.
Yeah.
So like, you know, and yeah, and Drew still has that bracelet, is holding that over him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's tough to, I mean, can you even say it's a double turn when they're both, yeah, just like, that's all I want.
It's gonna be so good. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. But our last matchup, the one that we're all excited for, Gunther, our world heavyweight champion, goes up against Randy Orton in his home country of Germany, and it is going to be fucking awesome because mm-hmm. Randy Orton's been saying that this is the best he's ever felt in his entire career. It looks like that in the middle of the ring. It's been great. Gunther has been absolutely electric, a perfect first feud for Gunther. I don't think Gunther loses this, so just get that one out of the way here.
I agree.
Maybe Imperium gets involved, but honestly, I don't want that. I want this to just be a straight up match, and I want Gunther to win in a true bash in Berlin. You know what I mean? Like, dude, I want these guys to beat the shit out of each other. And
I think they will.
And they will. They will. 100% they will, but I don't think shenanigans. I think this one ends with Gunther winning.
I think it's going to be straight up because that finals match that they had King of the Ring was so good. And I can't imagine they're not going to follow up on it. That crowd, you know, that crowd is going to be so hyped.
Yeah.
Both Gunther and Randy are going to feed off of that. And it's just going to make it electric. It's like, it's, It's I'm anticipating this being just.
I wonder how you
far
get,
and away the match of the night.
But. How does Gunther play bad guy while in Germany? Does he even play bad guy while in Germany? You know what I mean? Does like how do you do? I'm that's what I'm excited for. Like, how does Gunther kind of like interact with the crowd that's very much going to be on his side, but he is still the bad guy in this situation. But I also like the idea because, you know, it reminds me go for it.
I was just gonna, he's going to have to be disrespectful.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only way he's going to have to be. It can't just be like, and talk shit to the crowd and whatever. He's going to have to put Randy down, and he's just putting his boot on his face and just pushing him.
Yeah. It's going to have to be like more that, physical, you know? Rather than him playing to the crowd. I was going to say that this also can remind me a little bit of Money in the Bank, Chicago, John Cena versus CM Punk. When, you know, CM Punk was the bad guy.
Right.
In that feud. And then he came in and he had like a hero's welcome. And remember, commentary was like, everywhere else, he's a pariah. But here in Chicago, he's a hero, blah, blah, blah. And that was like really well played on their part because like ignoring it would have been stupid.
Correct.
So I hope they kind of do the same thing here where it's like, you know, back in the United States, Gunther, you know, people have really, you know, turned on and began to hate, you know, who, what kind of person he is. But here in Germany, he's in his home territory, his home turf.
And Randy even alluded to that he was going to be in enemy territory.
Yeah.
In his incredible promo, which we've been doing this so long. I can't remember if we even talked about his great promo that
he had on Raw. No, we didn't get a chance to talk about it.
It was fantastic. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. It'll get you hyped up. But yeah, I don't know. It's going to be such a fun match. I think this is a situation where we could see Randy turn heel as well.
Yeah.
I think this could, you know, cause keep in mind, he's a SmackDown superstar.
Yeah.
He is a SmackDown superstar. And can you imagine a situation in which Cody Rhodes on SmackDown not only has to deal with a heel Kevin Owens, but who's fired up and determined, but now he has to deal with a heel Randy Orton pissed off after losing to Gunther, coming back to SmackDown and saying, hey, you son of a bitch, you gave him a title shot. You said you'd give me one. Now it's my turn.
Oh, dude, you just laid it down. Oh, my God. We don't need to say much more. Anything I add would just ruin it. That was great. 100% there. Bash of Berlin is going to be taking place tomorrow. It's going to be a good show. Can't wait. So excited. Wow. Yeah. That damn.
And now. SmackDown's the A show.
And now SmackDown's interesting again. Oh, shit. Yeah. Oh, shit. All right. So, I mean, excellent stuff. Looking forward to Bash in Berlin. But let's go ahead, though, and move on to our favorite segment of the day. We got ourselves some Reaper. Where is it? 24/7 Champion of the Week. So there are a lot of great options for our Rebook 24/7 Champion of the Week here. I have three, as a matter of fact, but
I do as well. Let's do them.
Okay. Cool.
Let's go. I have three that come to mind.
So I'll do my three, and I'm curious to see which ones line up because I have a feeling at least two of them are going to line up. All right. First things first. My first Rebook 24/7 Champion nominee will be Jacob Fatu's facial expressions. This man is just living his best life. And I wish that I could be in an environment where I could act like that. You know, like I wish I could be at like work at Valorant. Hey, everyone, welcome back to the Valorant desk. We're going to talk about Sentinels. Like, I wish we could do that.
You ought to just do it one time. Do it for Halo. Time.
All right. Yeah. I did it. I know I should do it for Halo, actually. All right. So I did one. You do one. What's your 24/7.
Okay. My first one is the University of Arkansas Marching Band.
Oh, yes. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
Okay. Because I sent this in our rebooked Discord. And if you're not in it, join now. The link is below. All kinds of fun discussion goes on in there. We'd love to see you. We've got a great community talking about wrestling and literally just anything else that comes to your mind. But I put it in there. The University of Arkansas marching band at their game last night, their college football game last night, played during a penalty Kingdom. And it was awesome.
It was sick.
It was really, really cool. And even Cody Rhodes tweeted at them and did the did the meme where he's, you
yeah,
know,
where
the
he's listening. Yeah. Love it.
So that's my first nominee is that band.
Okay.
Even though they are technically an SEC rival, mad respect.
You give them the flowers, you know, yeah, but at the end of absolutely. The day, you still want to see them lose.
We're
going to
kick the shit out of you in a month or two, but it doesn't matter.
Okay. All right. I like that. All right. Next one is the bromance between Trick Williams and Joe Hendry that we've been starting to see.
Yes.
On NXT. Joe Hendry doing the pump that trick when Trick was coming out, and then when he was doing the wave with the belt, and then Trick is looking at him and he's like, yeah, sure, I'm in. You know, and he started doing it too. I love it. I'm all about it. I love everything that's happening in NXT right now.
Bring back that WWE Network show where they went on a road trip. You follow them on a road trip and just
ride along.
Give me Trick and ride along. Give me Trick and Joe Hendry on a episode of Ride Along.
Yeah. And that's, you know, honestly, I'm really fascinated to see where that story goes too, because Trick's kind of like being a little too nice.
And that's also this Sunday, dude. What a weekend.
Fuck, that's right.
That's also this weekend.
Oh my goodness gracious. There's too much. Wrestling. I mean, we've set ourselves up for failure with this podcast because we try to cover everything and you can already tell people we're an hour and a half into this. So it's crazy. Well, let's go ahead and move on. So I have one, two. What's your second one?
Okay. My second one is Adam Pearce.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. I don't know how the hell this guy still has a job. It's because Bronson Reed,
that was my third one.
had he been successful at this point, would be classified a serial killer.
Yeah. Or at the very least, an assaulter.
And
you know?
No one seems to care. Adam Pearce is still like, oh, well, I don't know. Should I suspend him? Get him the fuck out of there, Adam.
He's
like,
a danger to your employees.
He's attempted murder four times now. And even by WWE corporate standards, that seems a little lenient. So I think
it's absurd.
It's like,
at
what
point,
doing,
the Bucks
got to
stop somewhere, Pearce.
Come
the Bucks
got to
stop somewhere.
I'm impressed that he has done so little to protect his wrestlers and still has a job. That's why he's one of my nominees for the week.
My thing was actually going to be Bronson Reed flattening Braun Strowman, which I did not see happening. I'm going to talk about Bronson Reed on Rebook. I love Bronson Reed. He's a big fan of his. So I was really stoked about that. I do have one. This isn't one I'm nominating, but I do have one small thing that I want to mention. If you get an opportunity, there was like a video. I think it was an up, up, down, down video where Woods was standing in the middle and he was with Braun Breaker. And I forget who was there. And Braun Breaker turned around and he was like, hey, have you guys like ever heard of like Smash Brothers and Super Smash Brothers?
Yeah, and he was like,
and like, you could see Woods get really excited. You could see, and everyone else, but it was really cool to see like Braun like feel really welcomed in that moment. And it was really, really sweet. So it's not like something I'm nominating, but it's just something I wanted to mention because having worked now, and you and I have worked with a lot of wrestlers at this point, so many wrestlers are just, they're just gamers, they're just nerds. They just love
nerds,
the shit
man.
That they do. And and to see that I'm glad we got away from that bullshit, toxic masculinity crap. And we're embracing the fact that this is still big, meaty men slapping meat in the middle of the squared circle and they're having fun in the process. So anyway, just wanted to mention that real fast. What's your final one?
My final one is actually a serious one too. There was an article that came out this week by Us Magazine. Mm-hmm. They interviewed Liv Morgan, who said for years she secretly never felt good enough inside the ring.
Yeah.
And that she had this weird mixture of confidence and insecurity, right? Which is textbook imposter syndrome.
Yep. I feel it every day.
And that was going to be, so my 24/7 champion of the week, my nominee, is anyone who feels imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
Because I feel that same thing every day. It keeps me from doing things that I want to do sometimes.
Yeah.
And I feel it every day as a writer, as an actor, as a podcaster, as a human being, I feel imposter syndrome. And it's tough. and it sucks.
Dude, I had imposter syndrome even coming up with the idea for this podcast because I was like, who the hell would even care? And even though we're a small show, I'm glad that we're 30 something episodes in and we're having fun.
And
you know,
and I love the community that we've built. And so that's the thing is like if any of you have imposter syndrome,
you're not alone.
Look, the anxiety you feel is just your brain telling you conspiracy theories about yourself. Like that's all it is. Stop listening to that. Don't listen to that guy. He's an asshole. That's what I have to tell myself every day. So that's who my nominee.
You know what? I co-signed that. I would like to give our 24/7 champion title to anyone who has ever felt imposter syndrome. You are not alone. We're in this together. You can figure it out and you got it. You're there for a reason. Just remember, you got the ability. Don't be afraid and always be your true and authentic self and you'll succeed. Yep. You'll succeed.
Unless you're Matt and the imposter syndrome you feel is right. Hannafin's the better guy.
Yeah, Hannafin, Hannafin's just so good, you know, for real. He really is. he's not here, so we got to shit on him now.
I am a Hanna fan.
All right, and finally, question of the day. If you got this far, how long should Bryan Danielson hold the AEW title and who should end his career? We had Kevin Wilson on YouTube say it in a previous video. I'm all in, pun intended, on the idea of Hangman screwing up Danielson's title opportunity and forcing him into retirement. The heat would be insane. I don't think it's going to happen, but I need it to. Hangman would be a pretty damn good option.
That because then that can really stoke fire under Swerve.
And then get him chasing in a real proper face chase, which will be we love a good face chase over here. But anyway, folks, that is going to do it for us. A bit of a longer episode, even though it was just two of us, but there's a lot of crap to talk about today with Bash of Berlin, with Raw,
and we didn't even cover all of it.
And we missed TNA, we miss NXT. There's an NXT show this weekend as well. I mean, my goodness, there's a TNA show this weekend. Oh my word in heaven, it is a great time.
There's college football,
and there's college football. Oh my word. All right, and there's the Black Ops 6 beta. Goodness gracious. Oh, we're going to be so busy. Anyway, folks, we thank you so much for watching this episode of Rebook. Shout out to Matt. He wasn't here with us this week, but he'll be back next week. We'll be back at a regularly scheduled episode premiere, so we'll be back Wednesday morning, to talk about all the good stuff. Thank you guys so much for watching. We love you. Make sure you like, subscribe, follow, do all the crap that you got to do on social media, and we'll catch you next time, people. Peace.